into Samsung's territory. The iPhone maker is planning to open its first retail store in South Korea, home to its smartphone arch-rival.
Mars, their private candy giant, is on the acquisition trail again. Not this time for Wrigley, which it did buy, or Hershey, which it didn't, but for a pet hospital and diagnostics company.
And finally, a look at the popularity of one menu item at Jack in the Box restaurants has, well, produced some surprising results. We're talking about the take on the taco. The Wall Street Journal says Americans eat 554 million tacos a year from Jack in the Box, but nobody really knows why.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program for this Tuesday, January 10th, 2017. It's 5:10. It's another business day. Glad to have you along here on The Opening Bell. Lots to talk about this morning. In a minute, we'll talk about some of the big scams that are going around, some of the trends with that. Also, later in the program, this new movie is out about how the women behind the scenes helped NASA launch to the moon. There were also women behind the scenes that helped us discover planets and stars. And we'll talk to the author of a new book about their contributions to astronomy coming up a little later in this program. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are up 7 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures are higher as well. European markets generally higher today. Asian markets are mixed. Here's some of the intel around the world. Shares meandered in Asia today as fresh inflation data from China raised uncertainties over how the world's second largest economy will keep on track while trying to curb speculative bubbles. In Europe, stocks dropped initially for the first third straight day. That was a renewed concern over Italy's lending lenders dragging down bank shares across the market. There's also concern about ongoing Brexit negotiations and how that's going to move forward. This morning, though, we're watching most of the indices in Europe generally now have regained their ground and their higher. U.S. benchmark crude oil rose slightly to just above $52 a barrel. The dollar fell against the yen and the euro. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has demanded that the UK adhere to European Union rules on freedom of movement in return for market access, as she called on EU members states to stand strong in the face of global challenges. In her first policy speech of the year, the German leader laid down her demands as the UK Prime Minister talked about a hard exit from the European Union, a hard Brexit, as it's called. She said that the European Union would remain a trading partner, or at least friends with Britain, but that Britain wanted to get out all at once from Brexit and not have any special status. The Department of Housing and Urban Development announced Monday the Federal Housing Administration will reduce annual mortgage insurance premiums that borrowers pay when taking out a home loan that's insured by the government. And Yahoo has adopted a new corporate identity and cut the size of its board in half if the proposed $4.8 billion sale of the company goes through to Verizon Communications. The company plans to change its name to Altaba Inc. after it turns all of its emails, websites, mobile apps, and web tools over to Verizon. That deal still remains in jeopardy because of that large hacking situation. Well, as we start the new year here not only in Chicago and Illinois, but around the country, there's no shortage of scams going around. As a matter of fact, the Better Business Bureau has listed some of the top scams of the past year. And we are joined this morning by Steve Burness of the Better Business Bureau here in Chicago. Steve, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to have you because I know that some of this has you've been on before on our shows talking about some of this, but I wanted to focus a little bit on some of the business scams that are out there because this is a sector that's no different from all of these scams that you have sort of compiled over the past year. What's the biggest right now, Steve?
The biggest scam we have today is the IRS scam still, and it's coming down a little bit because there was a raid in India, but the IRS is not going to call you, whether it be a business, whether it be a consumer, and tell you owe back taxes and you have to pay within 20 minutes, hour, or you'll go to jail, get deported, lose your license. And that's what we always call the tip-off to rip-off. Anytime somebody calls you up and you have to pay within an hour, that's a scam. That is truly a scam. And people are falling for it because, like you said, in the last 4 years, this is our number one scam nationally and locally, both.
And this, the IRS, it's now that we're moving into tax season, this is probably going to kick up even more. But it bears to be repeating that the IRS generally doesn't call you on the telephone.
They do not call you on the telephone. They send you a letter. They get a certified letter as well before they would even call you. But I guess what they're doing is they're scaring people because they have what's called caller ID spoofing, and that means that they can change their caller ID to show whatever they want it to appear on your phone. So it says, you know, IRS 202 number. You're thinking it's them in Washington, D.C. I had people calling you, Steve, you know, crying, literally scared to death. That they were going to jail. I mean, these are not just run-of-the-mill people. These are highly educated people, some of them were calling me. And it happens to everybody. So that's what I'm saying. A scam is going to happen to everybody. The key is to check it out. I mean, obviously, there's so many scams out there. But if your consumer would just take the time necessary to do their homework and, you know, check with the Better Business Bureau first before doing business or before you get a call, it's all you have to do is type in IRS in our scam tracker. And you would be told that is a scam and to stay away from it, not only locally but nationally, because we report on scams all across North America.
And one of the other big scams, too, is this. It seems like it always is in the top couple is debt collection.
Yeah, again, the same similar to the IRS is that somebody calls you up saying you owe a debt. And, you know, you may owe a debt, but some of these what these scammers are doing are saying you have to pay now or we're going to call your boss. You know, we're going to call the police on you. You're going to get, again, the same thing. You can get arrested. For not paying your debt. And some of these consumers pay it because they get scared. They give them their credit card number, and then all of a sudden they realize, you know, I don't think I had a debt. And they do some more research, and they never carried a debt. So you got to be very careful. If somebody calls you up and tells you owe something, whether it be a business or a consumer, by law you have the right to see what it is, and they have to send you something in writing of what that debt is before paying for it. But, again, the tip-off to the rip-off is, I like to say, is anybody calling you saying you have to do something immediately without doing any homework and research?
Steve, you talked earlier about how some of these scammers can change their caller ID and make it look like something else. I have, over the past just couple of months, have seen on my own phone that a lot of numbers have been changing to local numbers, and it ends up being some kind of, you know, trip award-winning thing or some other kind of scam salesperson. They're actually changing from these 1-800 numbers that we always were kind of used to seeing with scams and fake stuff to real local numbers.
Exactly. They're changing the local numbers to try to fool people because they realize that people are not falling for the 800 numbers anymore. This is, you know, a telemarketing, you know, company. Now they're just putting local numbers, and you think it's, wow, I don't know who this is. Let me call. It's a local number. And they actually tell you won a trip. And that's, again, sweepstakes is in our top 10 scams as well. If you win a trip or somebody calls you on the phone, you win something, there's no need to give them your credit card number for, you know, processing, handling taxes, or whatever it may be. If you won something, it should be free and clear. And not giving your credit card number because you haven't won anything then.
We're on a pre-dawn conversation, business conversation this morning with Steve Burness of the Better Business Bureau in Chicago. And Steve, we'll continue our conversation in just a minute. We'll talk about some of the other top scams of the year and other ways consumers can protect themselves. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, some stocks of local interest that we're watching, Deer and Company off almost 1.5%. And also this morning, Equity Residential off about 1.5%, moving in the wrong direction this morning before the opening bell. It's 5:20.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 were in retreat yesterday, the Dow closing down 76 points at 19,887, the Standard & Poor's Index off 8. Tech investors were in a spending mood, pushing the NASDAQ up 11 points. Americans increased their borrowing in November at the fastest pace in 3 months. The Federal Reserve reported total debt at a new record, $3.75 trillion. Our collective credit card debt rose $11 billion, a huge jump from October. The Chevy Bolt has won the North American Car of the Year award at the Detroit Auto Show, marking the first time an all-electric vehicle has taken the top prize. The Chrysler Pacifica was named the top vehicle in the utility category. The Honda Ridgeline received top honors in the truck category. And McDonald's is selling the controlling stake in its China business in a deal worth up to $2.1 billion. The transaction is part of a business overhaul by the fast food giant to keep up with changing tastes that have led to declining sales in China. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:22 on this Tuesday edition of the show. And we're on with Steve Burness of the Better Business Bureau in Chicago. Steve, before the break, we were hitting some of the big top scams across the country here in Chicago. We want to, before we go any further, talk about the speech today by President Obama here in Chicago. Lots of people stood in line for these tickets over the weekend. And some of the tickets that have been appearing online may not be real, right?
Exactly. You don't know who you're buying from, actually. So if you're buying something on Craigslist, normally if you buy a couch or something physically, you see it and touch it. these are tickets. You're not going to know they're fake until you get there. And first of all, they're not supposed to be selling it because it's a free ticket. It clearly states on there no selling these tickets. And consumers are still doing it, but you're seeing them on Craigslist, and nobody knows what they really look like or feel like or you're supposed to be. And then you're only going to know it's a scam until when you get there and you realize you can't get in. So we're seeing a lot of tickets online, and obviously some of the prices are surpassing $5,000, and it's going to continue throughout the day, unfortunately.
And some of the other, this goes with really a lot of different events, too. Do you see this with concerts and sporting events all the time?
It happens all the time. Is every venue will tell you that there's somebody trying to come in and with a fake ticket all the time. Even the in the Hamilton, the first day when they Hamilton tickets, the first day of the play, there were so many scam or fake tickets for that event as well. And some of the ushers, some of the venues have these pre-printed forms already. So as soon as you give them a fake ticket, they know what to do. They just reach in their pocket and give you a pre-printed form saying you've been scammed. Sorry. So that happens so much that they have ushers even have forms printed up ahead of time. So it happens all the time. And as consumers just have to buy somebody you really know and trust. So if it's a venue or a regular event you want to go to, rather, just go to a licensed ticket broker, and that's it. No anybody else. No Craigslist, nowhere else, because you have to trust them first.
This is the time of year, Steve, when a lot of people are buying gym memberships, maybe even renewing gym memberships. There's been a couple of, across the country, high-profile cases of gyms closing all of a sudden after people have bought their new membership or renewed. What is the warning here, and what is the advice you give consumers in this area?
Well, the Better Business Bureau reports on organizations, so please check them out ahead of time and do your research. Just because they're a gym and they have a physical business doesn't make them a good business. Again, there's a lot of good gyms out there, but you have to do some research and check on those particular organizations, because some of those ones that have recently closed already had F ratings with the Better Business Bureau. So if consumers would have called us first, and most times, unfortunately, they call us after the fact, they would have been told they had F. But again, we're seeing about 4,000 complaints nationally, which puts it real close to last year. So we're seeing the same type of complaints, and consumers really have to read that contract and understand it, because it's binding. When you sign your name to it, you're agreeing to everything it says up on top. And unfortunately, in today's quick pace society, nobody's got the time to read it. But then you have to find out what's inside of it in order to adhere to the contract, because it's written by the company. And of course, it's for the company's protection.
One of the high-profile incidents here in Chicago last year was the David Barton gym. And I see by some of the research we've done on this, this company had been rated by you guys last year in the past as well.
They have been rated as an F with their organization ahead of time. We're getting complaints on billing and issues of the contract, which is similar to what we're seeing not only locally and nationally. But again, consumers think of the Better Business Bureau as a complaint agency, which we are, but we also are an educational agency where we want consumers to come to us first. So if consumers would have came to us and asked about that organization, we would have told them that they don't meet our standards, and they actually have an F rating, which is our lowest rating as well. So we also have a plethora of information on what to look and buy in the marketplace. So if you're looking for something, and we can give you a listing of accredited businesses in a specific industry that meet our standards, and they are accredited by the Better Business Bureau.
And if you're unfortunately in one of these situations where a company goes out of business or declares bankruptcy, is a consumer pretty much out of luck?
Pretty much, because you have to go in line at bankruptcy court. If they file bankruptcy, you have to go in line, and usually the creditors are first and the consumers last. So you may get 10 cents on a dollar, if anything. If they have money or nothing, that's up to you. Sometimes they just close, and you're out of luck, and they have no money at all. So it's being very careful and make sure that you deal with somebody you know and trust and that has a good rating, because usually when companies start to go under, the first thing to go is the customer service issues, and unfortunately the grade goes along with it. So if consumers just do some research, check them out first and with the Better Business Bureau. And if you need a business or a gym, just call us first and we'll give you a listing of accredited businesses in that area.
These scams generally give consumers a bad some businesses who do the wrong thing a bad reputation. But consumers also, I think, have this sort of going into an adversarial relationship when they start dealing with businesses. What can you tell us and business owners and also consumers about this relationship? And are all businesses bad? And are they all potentially going to end up on your list, or are there good companies doing the right thing?
By and large, Steve, most of the companies are good and ethical and do things right. It's unfortunately, it's always the bad ones who seem to get the press and the understanding that something's wrong. and therefore everybody paints with the same brush. So by and large, companies are good. I would suggest any, you know, businesses out there and consumers, customer service is of utmost importance. So if your business, make sure, yes, it is your business, but it's consumers who allow you to keep your business. And that's what businesses need to remember. And consumers need to go to businesses they know and trust. Obviously, check with the Better Business Bureau first. But if you're gut feeling something wrong with that business or you feel that they're trying to pull something over with you, just go somewhere else, because there's a lot of good businesses out there who want your money today, who will want it tomorrow, and who've been around for years. It's a scam artist to try to get the money as fast as possible, or the bad businesses to try to make as much profit in a short period of time, and then they go out of business or they just take the money, close up the shop, and run. But, you know, by and large, if consumers and businesses need to check out every business they deal with, you know, with us first, because by and large, we have a report on them. We have 4 million businesses that are rated with us, not only in Chicago and Northern Illinois, but across North America. And we also have a scam tracker. We want consumers and businesses to come to us, report any scams they see, so we can let other consumers know. If you go to our website, which is bbb.org, you can see a list of our scams happening in North America. It's a heat map, and you can go all the way down to your neighborhood and see what's happening.
Steve Berners with the Better Business Bureau in Chicago. You can also follow them on Twitter at ChicagoBBB. Steve, thanks for being with us on the show today.
My pleasure, Steve.
It's 5:28 here on the opening bell. Over to the newsroom, Vic Vaughn is standing by. Vic.
Hey, Steve. An incredibly busy day today on Capitol Hill as lawmakers get their first chance to question Donald Trump's cabinet picks. Our report next.
This is the opening bell.
From ABC News Tech Trends, Alexa.
Hello.
Please butt out. It seems the Amazon Echo will do just about anything.
Alexa.
Hello.
Play one of the Katy Perry songs.
As 6-year-old Brooke Neitzel found out.
She plays knock knock jokes. She sings stuff. She orders stuff.
Cute how Brooke calls it she, isn't it? Wait, order stuff?
I just asked her if she could order a dollhouse and some cookies.
That's when Mom Megan's phone chirped.
I get an Amazon notification that says your order has shipped. And I thought, that's interesting. I've not made an order.
Soon.
This is the dollhouse I ordered.
The $160 dollhouse and 4 pounds of cookies. The dollhouse is headed to a new home.
A child's hospital.
Brooke gets to keep the cookies, and parental controls have been put on the Neitzel's Amazon Echo. With Tech Trends, Jim Ryan, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program at 5:37. Maybe you've already seen the movie Hidden Figures. It's a story of the American dream, the untold story of black women mathematicians who helped win the space race. Started in theaters over this past weekend. It's one of the stories that generally is not told in some circles about how women are behind. Well, you know how they say behind every good man, there's a good woman. In this case, behind all of those people that sent our astronauts to the moon, there was a group of women who helped make it possible. There's also a story from Harvard University about women behind astronomers who were busy looking at the stars and finding planets long before women were supposed to be doing that stuff. It is called The Glass Universe. The book is How the Ladies of the Harvard Observatory Took the Measure of the Stars. A best-selling New York Times best-selling author, Dava Sobel, is with us this morning here on the program. Dava, this is, first of all, thanks for being with us. This is a wonderful book. I enjoyed it. And it's one of those stories that isn't told that much. Why is this story not one that we hear all the time?
I think all astronomers know who these women were, but it's not a story that has spread to the public. And I wanted to tell that story. It's exciting because of the opportunity that the women had, which was so unusual at the time for the director of the observatory to welcome this large number of women into the observatory and to give them assignments that really required them to think and set up systems, give them the freedom to make discoveries, and then publish their results, giving them full credit for everything they did. So there's no chip on the shoulder in this story. It's just a moment that seems remarkable to us now, that such a thing went on so much, science happened, so many women were involved, and it was 100 years ago.
Talk to me a little bit about what exactly these women did and how significant it was.
The director initiated a program of applying photography to astronomy. So by doing that, it wasn't just the individual observer at the telescope who could see things, but the photographic plate introduced into the telescope could not only see a momentary view, but accumulate light over a period of time. Some of these exposures lasted for hours. And so stars that no one had ever seen would show up. And then it was the job of the women to analyze the photographs, to help figure out the different types of stars. They created a classification system for appreciating differences in stellar types. They studied the varying brightness of the stars, and they came up with a way to measure distance in space. So at the start of their work, the composition of the stars was unknown. The physics of the stars, how they created their heat and light, was unknown. The location of our solar system with relation to the galaxy, the universe at large, none of that was understood. We didn't understand how large the universe really is and the fact that it's getting larger all the time. So the lives of the people were connected, braided with the advances in astronomy.
This was no easy undertaking either. Depending on the size of the telescope, some of these plates were pretty large, and there were millions of them.
Of the photographic plates?
At least half a million.
There were millions of stars, but the plates number about 500,000. Some of them are as big as 11 inches by 17 inches, because they were taken with different telescopes. So the different telescopes took different size plates. Many of them are 8 inches by 10 inches. And they are like window panes. They're fragile. But they create an unbroken record of what was going on in the heavens hour by hour, night by night, over 100 years. And that is such a valuable resource even today, and a unique resource, that the National Science Foundation is supporting a project to digitize the plates so that they can be used by astronomers everywhere without having to travel to Harvard.
If we could, let's talk a little bit about the context of this in terms of a timeline of our history. I mean, this was happening at a time before women could even vote, wasn't it?
Exactly. And voting was much on their minds. One of the women, Annie Jump Cannon, who had the most to do with creating the classification system that is still in use, she was a lifelong diarist. And she wrote in her diary about her first experience of voting. And women were looking to show that they could contribute to the science of astronomy, that they could prove that they had an equality there, just as in voting.
And the women who were involved with this, Harvard Observatory, gave them awards. There were honorary degrees handed out as well. How important was an institution like Harvard Observatory, Harvard University, in forwarding the movement of equal rights, especially for women?
Well, the observatory was separate from the university. It was part of it, but it was also apart from it. And the observatory was much more forward-thinking, much fairer to women than the university at large. But one of the women who worked at the observatory was the first to get a university title. So she was the curator of the astronomical photographs. But a later Harvard president took the title away and made it just an observatory title. So there was some friction there. And it was a struggle for the observatory directors to gain for the women the respect of the university, not just the respect of the observatory. Meanwhile, the women were getting honorary degrees from other institutions, including Oxford University in England, colleges here in America, but also invitations, honorary memberships in foreign astronomical societies, as well as the American Astronomical Society. So they were really accepted by their peers all over the world.
What surprised you the most as you did research about this? What if you had a takeaway or two that were most surprising to you, what would they have been?
One of the most surprising things was the fact that the presence of the women and the availability of funding from women to support the presence of women in the observatory led to the first graduate students at Harvard, first graduate students in astronomy being all women, and the fact that the first Harvard PhD in astronomy was awarded to a woman. That really surprised me.
If you had to think of the future after writing this book, how would you like it to impact not only women coming to equal pay and rising to levels of CEO, perhaps even president with the Electoral College, and science as well? What impact would you like your book to have?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that a book can have an impact, but it can tell a great story. And I think nowadays there is the real anti-science bias that comes up. And I feel it's very important to tell true stories about science and about women in science. And that's what I hope I've done here.
And also to encourage young women, young girls who may be listening to this to pursue careers in science and technology and engineering and math?
Yes, and they should know that women have always been interested in science, and they got to participate in the scientific enterprise. And there's no shame in it. It's okay to be good at math. It's okay to be interested in science. I think a lot of young girls are told that that's really not for them, and less so now than when I was a child.
And there are still women today taking Measure of the Stars.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your time. It was a wonderful book. We appreciate talking with you.
And I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Dava Sobel is a former New York Times science reporter. She's the author of The Glass Universe, How the Ladies of the Harvard Observatory Took the Measure of the Stars, published by Penguin Random House.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are tepid, just up 2 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures pointing a little bit higher, but not much movement in terms of those market futures as we head toward the opening bell later this morning. More now on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. And again, greetings from the Valley of the Sun, Phoenix, Arizona, where we attended day number two of the Farm Bureau Convention yesterday. Typically, the board of directors of the American Farm Bureau has always had a lady on the board, the chair of the Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee. But this year, they're adding a second lady to that lineup, and she comes from Southwest Missouri. Her name is Kalina Bruce. She is now the chair of the Farm Bureau Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee. She and her husband have a cow-calf operation in Southwest Missouri, and one of their goals is to help educate non-farm consumers about what it takes to put food on the table. The other board member, who is a lady, of course, the chair of the American Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee, Sherry Saylor, who only had to travel 45 miles to get to this convention. She and her husband have a ranching farming operation producing alfalfa hay in Buckeye, which is just 45 miles away from the convention site. Livestock had a turnaround yesterday at the Mercantile Exchange, particularly cattle. The nearby cattle contract, after trading lower at the opening, up $1.82 at the close. In January, feeder cattle up $1.22. The only red line on the screen, the February lean hog contract, and it was down 15 cents for the day. We're approaching the final crop numbers for 2016. That report will be out on Thursday. Yesterday, wheat, corn, and soybeans all traded higher. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. A couple of other stories before we leave you this morning. For the first time, Ford is offering a diesel engine with its F-150 pickup. The change is one of several coming for America's best-selling pickup in the 2018 model year. The revamped truck goes on sale this fall. The F-150, just 2 years into a revolutionary change in 2015, Ford started making the truck's body out of aluminum to save weight and increase fuel economy. The company behind messaging app Snapchat will place its European headquarters in Britain in a vote of confidence in the economy there following the vote to leave the European Union. Los Angeles-based Snap Incorporated's decision to run counter to that of tech giants like Apple and Google, who've chosen lower tax bases like Ireland. It also comes amid public frustration over alleged tax avoidance schemes of multinational corporation. Also, the NOAA, the National Weather Service, says the U.S. saw $15 billion disasters in 2016. That's 15 separate $1 billion or more disasters last year, the second highest number event on record. The average U.S. temperature in 2016 was 54.9 degrees. That ranked as the second warmest year in 122 years of record keeping. The 20th consecutive year, the annual average temperature exceeded the average. By the way, those billion-dollar disasters added up to a total of $46 billion in the U.S. The disasters in the U.S. claimed 138 lives. Now, the Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Tuesday, January 10th. The Commerce Department releases wholesale trade inventories for November. The Labor Department releases job openings and labor turnover survey for November. Also today, the Associated General Contractors of America releases national and state construction hiring and business forecast for 2017. That it will come out in the later part of the day. The World Bank launches the winter edition of its Global Economic Prospects Report, and there's a bunch of hearings on Capitol Hill today, confirmation hearings, including that for Senate Secretary of State. The Senate Judiciary Committee will begin hearing that this morning. Senate Intelligence Committee is also going to look into Russia's intelligence activities. Google introduces changes so that pages where content is not easily accessible to a user on the transition from mobile search may not rank as highly in what the company says is an effort to improve mobile search experience. Google says that pages that show intrusive interstitials, such as pop-ups, provide a poorer experience to smartphone users, and they hope that this new change happening today will make things easier for users. Just some of the things that could drive the markets today on this January the 10th on the Market Desk Outlook. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning right here on 720 WGN and be back tomorrow morning with another edition of The Opening Bell. Until then, I'm Steve Krasanich. Have a great day.